5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
On Hinge, for those of you who don't know, there are prompts. They give you questions to answer specifically, and you're supposed to give them a taste of your personality in that. One of them is, my cry in the car song is blank. So I put the national anthem.
Hey, y'all. I'm Tim Miller.
I'm Cameron Caskey, and this is FY Pod. Tim, this week we got to hang out in person again, and it really made me sad about the fact that we have to do long distance because we always have such a good time hanging out.
Do you want to move to New Orleans?
I know that someone asked you when they saw a picture of us, like, are you and Cam hitting the clubs tonight and everything?
Yeah, that is just not only just did someone ask me that, several people asked me that, including several people of both sexes hoping to see you at the club. So you're drawing a lot of interest.
Official announcement
is all I'm saying.
Official announcement for Bulwark listeners. Tim goes out. Tim, you know, lives the life of somebody with a little bit of energy in him. Yeah. I don't go out. You're not going to catch me out later than midnight. The latest I was up this week was for Bulwark Live on Friday, the free Andre event that was very inspiring and very funny. And yeah, you're not going to see me out. You will see Tim though. But Tim, when we're in person together, it's almost like we're not the huge pricks that we are on the show.
I don't know if that's true. I'm not. I guess we'd have to ask Aaron Parnas about that. He might have felt like we were a little prickly. But
we
it's all in
so
love.
Fun.
It's all about we're all vibing and broing. Sometimes I do feel like sometimes people aren't picking up that, like, you know, we tease each other with love. You know,
it's fun. Like, that's how you, like, think about the way you're talking to your boys. Anyway, whatever. Moral of the story is we're having a blast. I'm moving to NOLA to go babysit Tim's daughter Toulouse and also make podcasts with him.
Could be great.
Not a great day in the country. Trump just sent 500 Marines.
Strong transition. You're showing your podcast chops now. You're just moving. You're just like transitioning from I'm moving to Noah. I'm going to babysit. Bad day for the country, though. We have riots in Los Angeles. Very smooth. All right, continue.
And Trump is now sending 500 Marines to go deal with it, and suggesting that, you know, this wasn't something that LAPD and the state of California was going to be able to handle. And it's making a lot of people very concerned that Trump's use of, you know, active duty military against United States citizens is furthering what seems like a pretty clear agenda for seizing more power.
I'm excited to hear your take on this because I've done a couple of these today. The nice thing about the timing of this is, so since I've taped with Ta-Nehisi Coates, who was great, and with Sam Stein, you know, as you mentioned, a couple of things have happened, right? So now officially the Marines have been called in since the last couple of videos. Also, officially, Gavin Newsom, who I was talking about earlier, I feel like Gavin's been pretty good the last couple of days. I'm not a huge Gavin stan usually, but he tweeted these pictures, which we'll put up on screen here, of the troops like sleeping on each other's butts, just men being men, head to butt, because apparently Trump and Hegseth sent them there without fuel, food, water, or a place to sleep. So far it's not exactly dystopia with troops out there in the streets, you know, going after citizens, even though I think that's what Stephen Miller and Donald Trump want. But I think, as usual with the Trump folks, we have this kind of combination with scary and menacing, you know, with incompetent and clownish, you know, kind of happening here simultaneously. More on the menacing side in this round, at least so far from what we've seen out there in LA. But it's worth noting that they're not exactly firing on all cylinders, so to speak.
Well, tell me if I've got the right idea. So they go into Los Angeles, a city of immigrants, with some of the most aggressive ICE raids we've ever seen. People come out and protest. The cops show up. And there's this thing that happens when the police show up at protests. You see this at campus protests as well, where even when things are pretty peaceful, you know, I mean, it's hard to have a protest without a couple things going wrong. But generally, when there's a peaceful protest and the police show up, it's normally right around then that things start to get heated. And that calls into question the efficacy of the police as a force of de-escalation. I don't think the NYPD at the Columbia protests, I don't think they were de-escalating things. I think they were escalating. And when you see the LAPD at these protests, there's a very clear arc from people going out into the streets to defend fellow Los Angelinos, are they called?
Yeah, Angelinos, yeah.
People going out to the streets to defend their community, standing up. You know, there could be a story cherry picked here or there of somebody breaking a window or doing this or that, but a peaceful protest. And then police officers showing up.
There were
up.
Some rocks being thrown at the cops. So, okay. We don't need to give them the clip on the peaceful protest. And I just think there are obviously some dudes fucking around, right? But like, that doesn't change your point, I don't think.
I was talking to somebody about this today. They were talking about how a bunch of stores got raided during the George Floyd protests. Mm-hmm. And I was saying that it's so important that you do not lump those two things into each other. People peacefully protesting, which is part of how this country is supposed to work. There are going to be opportunists who exploit that and try to sow seeds of chaos and try to gain things for themselves, you know, breaking windows and stealing stuff from stores and everything. And I think even people who mean very well and support the causes that are being protested, in their analysis of the protests, they lump these two types of people together, the protesters and the craven opportunists.
Like my buddy John Lovett tweeted from a protest that he was at yesterday, which is like, you know, there are a lot of golden doodles there. Looks like it might have been happening in West Hollywood, maybe. I don't know where it was, but not there was some dancing, you know, no violence, right? And so like all these things are happening simultaneously. Like, there also were, I've seen the videos of the dudes standing on top of the bridge over the highway, like firing rocks down at the cop cars, which is not great. Not ideal. I mean, you're probably going to get arrested for that.
Yeah. Speaking of things people should get arrested for, I have a video here, Katie, if you could throw it up, of a police officer, as we'll see, very intentionally firing a rubber bullet at an Australian reporter. Did you see this?
Rubber bullets at protesters, moving them on through the...
So she looks like she's being pretty peaceful right here. It looks like she's not trying to hurt... Wait a second. Why did that cop shoot that at her?
And that dude just fired down on her. I mean, he just was like looking down range and smoked her.
This is regular police de-escalation behavior. I've got one more video to show you of riot control, crowd control, the police, you know, making sure everybody stays safe in the form of something that looks like it's from a Civil War horror movie. So you see, you got somebody on the ground here, and now the horses are starting to come in. Not unlike the episode Battle of the Bastards.
Freaking out the horses with some fireworks now.
Oh my God. Oh, now they're trampling over him.
Well, they're thought it might have been a horse error there, but then the cops started hitting them.
No, and now they're circling the guy, and no, stay down, sir. Yeah. This doesn't seem like de-escalation. This seems like the cops doing what they were really sent to do, which was not manage the problem.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
No, that's horrible. And I have always, all these issues have always been tough for me, like internally, because like on the one hand, fundamentally, I think that, you know, we need rule of law. We need law of order. I'm not like anti-cop. I lived in the ghetto for a while. And let me tell you, a lot of the folks in my neighborhood of all races were like wishing that there'd be a cop come down the street from time to time just to you know, make sure everybody knew that they shouldn't misbehave. And so I like, there's a place for all that. At the same time, I was always kind of a libertarian, like anti-state violence Republican, even back when I was a Republican. And so like those two things are always at tension within me, because this is like, it's like any, there's always the focus on the protesters, right? Like having, the right balance, right? Like the protesters, you know, should be strategic. The protesters shouldn't overstep. Like, the same is true with the police work. Like these guys, like that's fucking crazy. Like the idea of the guy like aiming his gun at that woman and shooting at her is insane. And hopefully she can sue the police department. And the scarier part, the horse video is scarier, because that was like, that felt like a group action. And the person on the ground did not seem in any way threatening. And again, sometimes like you see, there's an extra piece of information. I'm not saying there's not a 0% chance that person had a gun or something, but like there's no evidence of it from that video. And it looks like it's a coordinated attack on a defenseless protester.
Listen. People are going to talk about how there were cars set on fire. You shouldn't set cars on fire. It's unsafe. It could get people hurt. And if you're protesting and you're getting people hurt, you're doing the wrong thing. You're doing the opposite of what you should be doing. But one of the things that comes to mind is like, if protesters were setting cars on fire in Moscow to protest Putin's war, I feel like the people in America who are furious with these protesters would be cheering on these Russians. And they would be saying, no, yeah, fuck it up. Cause as much damage as you can. Like, make sure the bad guys feel it. Make sure they really see the consequences of their fascist actions, right? And Donald Trump goes in with ICE to do jackboot criminal madness. And the city of Los Angeles responds. Like, this is an example of people of the United States government fucking around and finding out. These people are, look, there are people being way too aggressive. There are people taking it too far and putting other people
because they want it, though.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
There's people putting other people in harm's way. But also, this is going to be the natural response when you go to a community of people and you start targeting them very, very, very often, completely illegally.
So, yeah, I mean, if you want proof of this, it's not just far left podcaster and child crisis actor Cameron Caskey making this point. Like literally the Wall Street Journal editorial board made this point this morning. So, you know, it was inevitable that you were going to get to something like this. I'm curious, Cameron, that was a joke, everybody. He's an aspiring actor, but it was never a crisis actor. We've talked on this pod a bunch about how there's been a demographic, concern about the people showing up to anti-Trump protests so far in Trump 2.0. We've got these No Kings protests coming on Saturday. I'll be at the one in New Orleans. Come say hey to me if you're out there. But when you go to most of these things or you watch them, it just tends to be an older crowd. different than 2016, different than March for Our Lives, different from Black Lives Matter. And there's kind of a question about why that is. I'm curious if you think this one will be different. I noticed that Hassan Piker was out there in his muscle shirt and his kind of bandana among the masses. He's more popular kind of on the far left among younger folks. I'm wondering if you think there's something about this that might awake, your peers.
I know one Gen Z who was at the protest. I was asking him some questions about it today. He was really not around a lot of the more aggressive things that were happening. He said that it was really just sort of like an outdoor hangout where he was with people holding signs and, you know, calling for action. I think it's the same. We talk about why isn't Gen Z showing up to stuff like protests all the time. And there's so many different answers. I think this is a different story because while I don't have a headcount demographic chart of what this protest in Los Angeles looked like, this is the fabric of a community that's being attacked. This is a city of immigrants that's being targeted. Mind you, you know, the cities of immigrants in red states, and you bring this up, the cities of immigrants in red states where immigrants power the economy, where they build the community and everything.
Yeah.
They aren't seeing this because they aren't.
The foreign communities in Northwest Iowa haven't seen them get raided yet so far.
No, because they're not on the enemies list. They're not people that Trump likes to, you know, fight with, like he likes to spar with. This is all a fucking political move. Sending ICE there in the first place was a political move to provoke a response like this and to escalate and to escalate and to escalate. And unfortunately, we haven't seen the beginning of where Trump's going to go with this. But I think this is a very important time to talk about how badly I did talking about this on MSNBC last night. I was so fucking bad. Well, because they told me to prepare for three topics.
Okay.
Then, you know, Ken Martin crying about David Hogg at the DNC.
Just quick aside on that topic. That's very concerning. That's very concerning.
Let's circle back to that because okay. It was going to be that Trumpstein and the Biden lady dying
Trumpstein?
On the Biden
is
hill.
Is that the Trump
it's
Epstein?
It's like their ship name. It's like their online relationship name, Trumpstein.
That's fun.
I made it up myself. We're talking about those things. So I prepared, I did my homework, you know, I was reading articles about it. I think sending you some tweets about it and then I get there and of course they're covering the protests in Los Angeles. It's breaking news and we're live. Like I'm glad they were covering it and their commentary was excellent. I was on with Maya Wiley, commentary was perfect for that. You know, whose commentary wasn't fucking perfect for that was my stupid ass who could have said some very insightful things if I had any time to prepare, but I did not know that we were talking about the protests until we were already live and Eamon asked me the first question. And for some reason with Maya Wiley, an expert in who fucking knows how many fields, sitting right next to me, I get the first question. So if Maya had gotten the first question, I would have at least had enough time to calibrate myself to understand that this is what we were talking about. But instead,
a lawyer, a civil rights activist, candidate for mayor, you know, she would have some relevant subject matter experience, Maya Wiley.
Ask the plucky sidekick. That's what you should do. So I sounded like a fucking idiot and I was already nervous about that appearance because throughout the day, while I had been preparing for the MSNBC hit that I thought I was doing, I was very sad, and this is the real topic of the episode, I guess, about a girl. There's been some trouble in Camp Paradise recently, and I'm kind of busted up about it. So I'm trying to get over it. I'm trying to move past the situation, but I'm a very feelingsy person. I think regular listeners of the show know this. I feel a preponderance of feel and, dare I say, I feel quite a bit too much. So I was trying to distract myself from these romantic woes that are so embarrassing for me. It's not even worth getting into. No matter how you spin the story, I come out of it looking just like a fucking moron.
Okay, we will be getting into that, but just maybe not right now, or it's so raw. You know, a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, let the dust settle. But while I was trying to get over it, I thought maybe I could distract myself just for the sake of it and download Hinge. And what I found on Hinge.
This has been quite a whirlwind. Can I just, before we get to Hinge though? So you're nervous about the show because you're already emotionally unstable about the breakup. I guess my question is, why would you agree to Sunday night MSNBC? You know, not exactly the prime time for watching news these days, weekend evenings. Why would you do that if you were going through something? Why didn't you just be like, hey guys, sorry, I'll catch you next weekend?
Because that's my favorite show to do.
Because Eamon's your man?
All three of them are great. Like the prime time, that hour is so fun. And you like sit around a table and there's a lot more room to be fun and hang out a little bit. Yeah, not last night, but every other time I do it with them, like it's normally fun. And that I quite enjoy doing it. I like doing news stuff where I don't have to do it from Zoom and I'm like sitting right next to my bed while I'm talking about fucking tariffs.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do it so much that I missed the Tony Awards. Anyway, what were you saying?
Okay. No, that's good. Okay. So that makes sense that you would have done that. Tony Awards, pretty gay. I guess I'd just say to you something to think about.
The game two of the finals.
Something to think, it's a blowout. Yeah, this is a bro pod. Something to think about going forward is you can always fall back on being the organizer of March for Our Lives. Something that I did, a little cheat sheet for TV. You know, like when in doubt, I fall back on being a former Republican and just kind of do my shtick. And so that's my coaching for you. Next time you're
here's the thing.
You can be like, yeah, Eamon, you know, this is something that, and I had a little experience with this. And then you just go back and just don't really answer the question and talk about what you did. And then they move on.
But being a former Republican, that's more of a contextualization. That is more of a, that more explains your perspective and why you come to the table the way that you do.
Yeah.
Being like, yeah, you know that giant movement that millions of people were a part of? Yeah, I kind of started that. That was sort of me.
Yeah.
That's douchier than I used to be.
Well, you're going to have to figure out a way to frame it a little less douchey, but we'll work on it. We'll work on it. Anyway, I got some tips for you for the next time you're stuck on TV with something you don't want to talk about.
I need help framing another thing to be less douchey.
Your Hinge profile.
No, that one, that's great. I'll read you my prompts too.
Okay.
When people talk to me about having a podcast, like, I don't know how to be like, no, it's not embarrassing. This one actually does pretty well. People really like this one. What do you say? Like, yeah, I'm a podcaster and I know that's sort of embarrassing, but you know, I'm a pretty successful one.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Yeah, that's tough. There's no way around that.
Do you just own it?
I usually start by saying like it's kind of embarrassing to say that I'm a podcaster, but I am. Or I'm a content.
I'm just going to divert the attention. I'm like,
I do content creation.
Actually, yeah. No. Nothing about a podcast. I'm actually a school shooting survivor. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I'm a school shooting survivor turned content creator. I think at your age is less embarrassing. You can be like, look, yeah, you can just be like, look, I'm a content creator. We have a podcast. It's pretty good. I also have another real job, a day job, but I'm hoping to do so well in the content game that I don't have to work anymore. People vibe on that. I think that's fine.
Isn't that
the American dream now? All right, we'll workshop it. Hinge, your Hinge profile.
So I'll show you guys. I'll read right on Hinge. For those of you who don't know, there are prompts. You can like they give you questions to answer specifically, and you're supposed to give them a taste of your personality in that. One of them is, my cry in the car song is blank. So I put the national anthem. Then it's my greatest strength. And I put virtue signaling. And then it's, I recently discovered that, and I put, Lyndon B. Johnson initially opposed the Civil Rights Act of 1957 and worked to weaken it through amendments before ultimately voting for its passage.
I think, are you looking for feedback?
If you'll give it to me, keep in mind, I only trust homosexuals so much on these matters.
Yeah, sure.
Because I don't use Hinge for men. There's some more effective apps for men. So Hinge is my woman app.
I think you're knocking it out of the park on the first two. I don't know. I don't know if the third one feels a little, I feel like I was a woman looking at that, I've gone from thinking that like, you're kind of a funny self-effacing guy to now you're like a funny self-effacing know-it-all. You've lost me a little bit on the third one. It's a little
so
too.
I've recently discovered that. What should my answer be?
Well, I can't workshop it live. I've recently discovered
that I am fully gay. Keep scrolling.
No, not that. We'll work on it off. Just give us some suggestions in the comments. Cameron has recently discovered what?
Yeah, all right, everybody, great. Or just Hinge prompts in general. But I just wanted to say a couple notes before we wrap up. Okay. One thing I've noticed, I'm very particular. I'm very like Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm when I'm talking to people in some sort of romance-y type way. Sometimes someone can be really attractive, but just the name ruins it for me. Like, there's this really, really hot girl. Like, if you're listening to this, you are a slay queen. Like, you pop off. I'm so happy for you. If I met you and didn't know your name, I'd be enthralled. But her name is Brisbane.
It's a city in Australia.
I know. I was like, okay, bye, Brisbane. Go Briz. Enjoy. Go enjoy having good gun control.
You can call her Brit.
And then another story I have is I was messaging this one young woman and we were chatting, and as always, it came to me complaining about how my back hurts. And she said, oh, I'm in orthopedic school. Let me give you a back massage. And I was like, ew, don't fucking touch me. I don't know you.
You don't like to be touched, I found out when I saw you in person.
I don't recently. Like to be touched. Everybody can keep their fucking hands to themselves. That should be in my Hinge bio. By the way, I don't enjoy the sensation of human touch.
I don't think that'll land for you. Well, I gotta say, those are two pretty nitpicky things, but I want you to find love. You can't.
My last anecdote is there was someone who was super attractive, who works in AI.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to talk to somebody about fucking AI.
On the other hand, maybe you kind of need that as like a backup. Like, what if things get really bad with AI and it comes after all of us? Wouldn't you want to have a partner who has some expertise in the platform who could maybe protect your family?
I'm good. Next question.
Okay.
Oh, we have a new segment. That was my idea.
I thought that was the new segment. We have another new segment?
No, that was just me talking about my Hinge.
Oh, okay. I thought Cameron's Hinge profile was the new segment. Okay. Well, we're running long. So what is it? Rapid fire end segment.
The new segment is stuff that grinds our gears. Me and Tim are going to give you a quick thing that's pissing us off today.
I've got
and
mine.
Mine's pretty simple. People my age show up so fucking late to shit. They think it's cool to show up to shit late. And I don't think that fashionably late is something we should keep reinforcing. I think we ought to be showing up to things fashionably on time.
You know who you got that in common with? Rahm Emanuel. Showed up 10 minutes early to the podcast last week. Great. And gave me a long speech about that. Just something you might reflect on, that you and Rahm have that in common. Here's mine. The people on the airplane, the pilots and the stewards and flight attendants, stewardesses, whatever we're calling them these days, they all talk way too effing much. People that are on planes either want to sleep, or in my case this weekend, are extremely hungover from World Pride, or want to read their book, or want to watch their movie. And like, the amount of talking on the intercom has increased like 400%. They're doing stand-up routines. They're like repeating the same shit over and over again about how you can't smoke. We all know we can't smoke in planes right now. We don't need an announcement about it three times during the flight. Everyone knows you can't smoke. You got to put your seat back up. I get it. Just minimal talking. I understand you have to have the safety announcements at the beginning. That's fine. Let us know we're landing in 20 minutes. That's fine. Do not speak other than those two times unless it is absolutely urgent, unless there is a crisis, you know? I mean, if there's a hijacking or extreme issues with the weather, speaking is fine. But that's it for me. Please speak less.
I
appreciate all of you. They're getting us safe. I do like that. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I was on a flight to Newark recently, and the pilot thought he was so fucking funny, and he was just going off. And then we got stuck, and he just kept on doing his stand-up routine. And then while we were about to fly into Newark, he starts making jokes about all of the airplane like crashes that were happening at Newark.
Guy.
And I was like, sir.
Guy, just because you have a mic doesn't mean you're a stand-up comic, okay? Leave it to me to say that, who tried a stand-up routine that just fell flat about Troy Sivan and ketamine usage.
Oh, dude, that was funny as fuck.
Yeah, for those of you, seven laughs.
Who aren't hearing Tim toot his own horn here, let me tell you, Bulwark Live is very funny. Tim did great. I'm very proud of him.
Thank you.
With Cam Caskey and his friend, this is FY Pod.
Peace.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.